Alright guys, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit and the scriptures of the Word of God, I'm going to show you today that we really are and really could be on the very precipice of seeing the revealing of the Antichrist of Bible prophecy. You don't want to miss this one. Let's go.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, guys, what's going on? It is Thursday, August the 22nd, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Of course, I am your host and founder and voice of End Time Headlines, Ricky Scapero. We want to welcome to the program tonight. Listen, do me a favor if you're new, first time joining us, somebody invited you into the program, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comment section below that you're new. And of course, where you guys are joining us from, we welcome you and all of our regular viewers and listeners, you guys on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, we appreciate you coming on to the program as well. And of course, please, guys, do us a favor, help us get the word out there. All it takes is like literally 1 second, hit the like button. When you hit that like button, it's going to push it out on the algorithms. Go a step further. If you want to keep up with our programs on these social media platforms, hit the bell notification. Hit the subscribe button. That's going to keep you informed. Then, and above all that, this is the one thing you can do to keep up with every headline, every podcast. Don't miss a single breaking news, anything, is download our free app today. It is available on Apple. It is available on Android. Get it today. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications. Be sure to do that. And then you're going to get notified every time we put out a new headline, every time we put out a breaking news, a new podcast that's available. And if you look right there on your screen at the visual of this, you see where it says listen and watch. That gives you the availability to, you can watch any of these podcasts, whether you're out on the road, whatever, you just click on it and you're going to be able to watch it. You can listen. If you like listening, maybe you're mowing your yard, doing housework, doing stuff, you can listen there. And of course, you know, you guys on Apple and Spotify already know that's what you're doing. You're listening to the podcast, and so we appreciate that. And guys, please be sure to give us a good review on Apple and Spotify. That helps push this material out as well. So guys, I'm going to today, I've been, because you guys know that I go through articles after articles after articles. I do research after research. I see headlines after headlines, week after week after week. And it's like it gets crazier and crazier by the week. Anybody else notice that? I mean, you look at the headlines, look at the top stories, look at these things coming out. That it's almost like it's satire. It's so outlandish, so crazy, so immoral, so wicked, and so evil that you are literally like, have I fallen asleep and waken up in the Twilight Zone somewhere? And as I was thinking about this, I'm like, well, you know, the general consensus is the world is going to get darker before the arrival of the Antichrist. We know that. But when I was digging through some scriptures, I want to show you something out of the book of Daniel that I think is going to shine some light on this and really truly highlight the fact that not only are we nearing the end of the age and the second coming of Christ, but we know that in the end times, prior to the return of the Lord, the Antichrist will appear. John said in his writings, in his day, there were many Antichrists, plural. And when you study that out, he's talking about individuals who met the criteria to fit the attributes of one who opposes Christ. They denied the deity of Christ. They denied that Jesus was the Son of God. They were liars. They were apostates. And John identified them as those who had the spirit of Antichrist. But he emphasized in his writing, in his letters, that there is one coming called the definitive man, the Antichrist. So we know that there is coming and Antichrist, who will establish a final kingdom on earth. He will establish a buying, selling, and trading system along with the false prophet that you'll have to be forced to buy, sell, and trade with the taking of the mark of the beast. You will be worshipped. You will be forced, to worship an image that will be erected with the help of the false prophet and the people of the earth that will create this thing. So we know it's there. He will invade the temple. That's in 2 Thessalonians. He will take and set up his headquarters there for 42 months. He will be invaded by the kings of the east. So, guys, there's some erroneous teaching out there that says there's no such thing as an Antichrist and there's not an Antichrist. Guys, clearly in Scripture, line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, you'll discover that there is coming. Again, the Bible has many definitions of this man, the man of sin, the man of perdition, the lawless one, the Antichrist. All of these things are there. The beast that's rising up out of the sea, Revelation 13, that is, again, another reference to this individual. But I want to show you something. I want to give you some headlines. Because after all, at the beginning of this, I told you one of the things that really set this in motion was just these crazy headlines. Can we get into some headlines and then we'll get really into the meat of this? Because I think if I show you the headlines first to build the foundation of this, then it's all going to come together for you, okay? So let's go. Let's do this now. Okay, for you guys in Texas, in the Houston area, this was mind-blowing. There is a temple that is being erected. It's a Houston area Hindu temple that has just unveiled a massive, 90-foot monkey god sculpture. In fact, they're saying, according to the report, it is the third tallest statue of this kind in the entire United States. Now, here, I want to show you the picture of this thing. Here it is. Again, you guys that are watching the visual of this, here, this thing stands 90 foot tall, and it's in the Houston, Texas area. It's there in front of a Hindu temple. Now, what you're looking at there is what is known in Hinduism, Lord Hanuman. Now, again, this individual is significant in Hinduism. It's a figure in Hindu mythology and is one of the most core central characters in this religion. He is revered as a, now listen to this, you can't make this stuff up, guys, a divine monkey god, and is known for his, quote, immense strength, unwavering devotion, and loyalty to Lord Rama, the protagonist of the Ramayana. Now again, this, quote unquote, monkey god is typically depicted with the face of a monkey, a muscular physique, and carrying a mace in one hand. Sometimes he's shown tearing open his chest to reveal Lord Rama, symbolizing his unwavering devotion. Now, why is this interesting? Why is this significant? First of all, this is idolatry on full display in Houston, Texas. And with idolatry, listen, I'm gonna have to give you the cliff notes on this, because if I get too deep in this, you won't understand this, so I've got to relay this to you. And I know people don't believe in spiritual warfare. They don't believe in demons. But I'm going to tell you, when you go into the Scriptures, these idols, these things that are created by man, that are created with ears that cannot hear, eyes that cannot see, a mouth that cannot speak, they make these idols, they erect these idols, and they worship these things. They give gifts to them. They do devotions to them. So these things, listen, they attract demons. Paul talks about this in his letter to the church of Corinth. He says there is many so-called gods, little g, but there's only one true God. And he says, and he goes on and he talks about that people are unknowingly or unawarely, they're sacrificing to demons. So listen, the bottom line is, when you erect an idol like this in your city, in your community, You're literally laying down the welcome mat for all kinds of destruction. You are inviting evil spirits into your city. You're inviting evil spirits into your community. And with those demonic spirits comes, listen to me, destruction, famine, death, sickness, plagues, and all such of these things. Now, isn't it? Now, I think it's very interesting that they erected a 90-foot monkey god. And what is the pestilence that we're hearing now that is feared to come to America and spread like wildfire? You got it. Monkeypox. You can't make this up. Listen, the enemy, principalities work through personalities. And therefore, if they can convince people who worship false gods to erect idols that are useless, but they're good for attracting demons and demon worship, again, it opens the door for destruction to come into these regions. So this is, listen, for you guys living in the Houston, Texas area, this is very disturbing to say the least, but nevertheless, this is, again, one of those weird headlines that we're telling you about. Now, you want to talk about weird headline? Look at this. The Biden/Harris Department of Energy official. So let me scroll down here. I'm going to show you this. This is, and I'm probably going to slaughter this individual's name, Shania Nyer. I don't know how you spell it. Anyway, she's a special assistant to the National Nuclear Security Administration. You're looking at it right on your screen. Is calling for querying nuclear weapons. What? Let me say it again. The special assistant that has been put in place for the, you might as well call it the Harris administration now, because the baton has been passed to Kamala Harris. National Nuclear Security Administration. This woman is calling for the querying nuclear weapons and for people with foreign connections to be given access to America's secrets as part of a radical DEI agenda. What? According to FoxNews.com, a recent hire at the nuclear security wing of the Department of Energy has previously called for, look at this, disarmament policies which reduce or eliminate nuclear weapons. Isn't that great? I mean, what a better time to disarm American policies and reduce or eliminate nuclear weapons. I mean, I couldn't think of a better time. I mean, after all, it's not like Russia is threatening us with nuclear weapons. It's not like Iran is threatening us. It's not like North Korea is threatening us. It's not like China is threatening us. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that's right. They are threatening us, and they're building up their nuclear arsenal. So we now have this new hire in the Department of Energy who's demanding disarmament policies and the reduction or complete elimination of nuclear weapons. Why, you ask? Oh, well, let's talk about it. Arguing that advancing, quote, queer theory was essential to the agenda as well as important to America's national security. Wait, Brother McKee, I don't even understand what this means. Well, let's read on. The Biden-Harris administration announced this woman, again, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name again, had been appointed as special assistant to the National Nuclear Security Administration in February of this year, and she believes in eradicating purported white supremacy in the nuclear field. Everything is racist. Even nuclear weapons is racist. Now, what are we talking about today? Insanity. Headlines that hurt your head, that make your head spin, that it oppresses you, it wears you down. It's very, very important that you listen to what I'm saying today. These headlines, what do? They vex you. They oppress you. They wear you down because you're like, how stupid can we get? People? All of this is a part of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and a push that she believes is, quote, essential for deterring threats to nuclear energy facilities in the U.S. What? Quote, finally, queer theory informs the struggle for nuclear justice and disarmament. Queer theory helps to shift the perception of nuclear weapons as instruments for security by telling the hidden stories of displacement, illness, and trauma caused by their production and testing. So wait a minute, stop. So let me get this straight. So we're going to disarm America of nuclear weapons to defend ourselves because it might be threatening or it might be offensive to a certain ideology, right? I told you guys, you can't make this stuff up. And if and listen, your head's just going to hurt worse and worse as we get through this. All right, anybody, listen, I don't watch this show, but I'm sure there's somebody that's listening or watching, and you may watch this. The Bachelorette, never was interested in it. Boring to me. I hate reality television. But nevertheless, if you know what I'm talking about, this, there's The Bachelor and then there's The Bachelorette, okay? One of the former stars, he's a former reality star, 38 years of age. He was a contestant on there. His name is Josh Cedar. Okay, he was a former Bachelorette star. He was one of the contestants on there. Now he has recently come out, and I mean come out, now as trans. He's now identifies as a woman. And look at this headline. Quote, Bachelorette star Josh Cedar, who now identifies as a woman, demands that the franchise cast a transgender lead. Because I know you guys have all been begging for it. After all, he says that viewers are sick of seeing cis white people on TV. Let me read this statement right here, and there's so much truth in this, and it's not a good thing. Quote, America is changing. Oh, yes, we certainly are. It's not just a bunch of middle-aged cis white people anymore, and the LGBTQIA goes on, alphabet community makes up a, quote, large portion of our country now, does it though? Yet we've seen zero representation for trans women and men on the franchise. He's talking about the Bachelor and Bachelorette franchise. Quote, how is the show a staple of Americana and our broader culture if they are leaving out the same individuals that make this country so unique and vibrant? I mean, quote, it's good they've decided to finally cast an Asian woman and black man as leads recently, but where are the trans women and trans men on the show? So if you're a fan, and some people are not, but if you're a fan of The Bachelorette, I would not be surprised by any means if they actually go through with this. Why? Because this is the insanity that we're in. Speaking of insanity, anyone looking to buy a new home and you can't get a good mortgage rate, it's such a struggle for you financially to get a home. Well, look at this. In California, they're advancing zero down, no payment home loans for, you got it, undocumented immigrants. The California Senate Appropriations Committee advanced a bill to allow undocumented immigrants to make use of the state's zero down, no payment home loan program, an expansion the legislators says would create, quote, significant cost pressures. All right, I want to pull this up on the screen so you can see this. So not only are they getting no payments down, all of this on homes, but California also became the first state in the nation to offer health care insurance to all eligible undocumented immigrants. So free health care, no money down on a home. I mean, the red carpet, isn't it crazy, guys? Listen to the look at the America that we live in. Those of us who come here legally, those of us that work for a living, we pay our taxes, we can't get a break anywhere. But people that come in, undocumented, illegal, they get free health care. They get the best of this. They get the best of that. They get, oh, you don't have a home? Well, we're going to lay out every, we're going to make it, literally, we're just going to give it to you. Lay it in your mouth, in your lap. Don't worry about making payments. We'll probably take care of that. But I mean, after all, somebody else can pay for that because we want to just give you a care package as you're coming in illegally into the country. It's absolute insanity, friends. But this, again, is all going to tie into what I'm going to talk about tonight. Now let's shift gears And let's talk about the insanity that's happening in the church. Even in the church, guys, there's things happening that is just mind-blowing. For example, here's a story. I thought this was just numbing. Billy Graham's granddaughter joins... Now, have you heard of this? Evangelicals for Harris. Let me highlight this. Evangelicals for Harris. What is this? Let's talk about this first, and then I'll go back to Billy Graham's granddaughter. And when you scroll down here, I want you to see this. This is what blew my mind. Look right here on the left of your screen. Upholding Christian values. Now, remember, this is evangelicals supporting Kamala Harris. Quote, evangelicals don't have to change who they are. They just need to reaffirm who they are by voting, listen to this, for someone who better reflects Christian values. Yeah, let me say that again. According to their mission statement here, evangelicals for Kamala Harris, evangelicals don't have to change who they are. They just need to reaffirm who they are by voting for someone who, quote, better reflects Christian values. So let me get this straight. By voting for Kamala Harris, you're voting for someone who better reflects your Christian values. What Christian values are they talking about? Are they talking about the removal of an unborn child, the termination of an unborn child? Are they talking about the support of a marriage that's not recognized from God or heaven that is that the Bible condemns? Are they talking about gender mutilation? What values, what quote unquote Christian values are they referring to that this administration better reflects our Christian values? Come on, somebody help me out here, because I can't figure this one out. Maybe you could type something up in the chat in the YouTube, right here on the YouTube channel in the chat room. Does this administration and what they stand for and their core values reflect the Christian values? Does it reflect the Bible? Because it doesn't. I can't find these values in my Bible. Now here's one individual who is drinking the Kool-Aid, and that's Billy Graham's granddaughter. Of all people, that's just like Satan, isn't it? It's just like Satan sitting back laughing because he's pulled the wool over the eyes of one of the greatest evangelists. He was literally called America's evangelist. His granddaughter quotes the book of Isaiah to blast Trump supporters, and she is now evangelical. She has now joined the movement. This is an actual movement of evangelicals for Harris. So let's watch. Here's her statement.
Good evening. My name is Jerusha Duford, and I'm grateful to have an opportunity to join you tonight. Thank you to everyone who joined this call to discuss a pivotal point in our country's future. You know, I was thinking this morning that if you told me 10 years ago that I would be taking an active role in politics, I'd have laughed. But then I had to stop and realize this is so much more than politics. My role began in 2016 when a man bragged about assaulting women. Various leaders of my faith then propped up this man as a poster boy for godly manhood and leadership. This broke my heart as I have watched quite...
I'm not sure who she's talking about who propped up Trump as a poster child of godly manhood, because I don't know anybody that did that. I know people that voted for him because he was the best option to uphold the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence. But as far as being a poster child for godliness, really, I don't know anybody that has. I mean, I'm sure there probably is, but I personally don't know any.
Quite frankly, for the last 8 years, people who were curious about Jesus and his teachings done a 180 and walked in the other direction from my faith. Isaiah talks about an oak whose leaves wither and a garden going without water. These things happen slowly, over time. First, people professing the Lord made excuses for the lack of kindness. Then for the name calling. Soon it was making excuses.
Okay, as to opposed to what? As opposed to Biden? I mean, he never did name calling, did he? Did you happen to watch any of the clips from the Democratic National Convention? Did you see the things that Obama got up and said and Michelle Obama came up and said against Trump? But yet she's going to throw Trump under the bus and accusing him of the name calling. And she's going to go as far as to vote for Kamala Harris. Again, it's incredible, isn't it? Mind-blowing. Let's go on. Let's watch this.
This is for assault. Then it became making excuses for January 6th and now making excuses for convicted assault and 34 felonies.
Okay, really?
The oak leaves don't wither overnight, and I'm terrified to think of how far this turning our head the other way and making excuses will take our country. But more.
Okay, so we're going to turn our head away. We're going to turn our head away from policies and laws that are being put in place by the stamp of approval of this current administration. I'm not talking about, yeah, we could talk about Biden, we could talk about Obama, but even Kamala Harris has a track record. If you think for a second, if this woman is so naive to think that if this administration wins the election, I'm not talking about Trump's administration, I'm talking about Kamala Harris' administration, if you actually think that if she's is so naive to believe that administration is not going to sign off legislations to persecute the very people that she's allegedly upholding and defending, then, friends, again, she has taken the bait, hook, line, and sinker. I'm talking about she is drinking the Kool-Aid because the writing is on the wall.
Importantly, our witness to the world. One of my grandfather's favorite verses was Micah 6:8. What an incredible reminder of what the Lord requires of us, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly.
Okay. He also, in Proverbs 6, it says, these six things, yea, even seven, I hate, says the Lord. And one of them is the shedding of innocent blood, which, by the way, this woman who is now supporting this administration supports. They advocate for it. For goodness sake, people, Planned Parenthood set up a mobile bus there to give out free abortions. This is unbelievable.
I've always stated that my president doesn't have to be a Christian, but I am and will be watching for my faith leaders support actions that reflect mercy, justice, and humility, and for my faith leaders to rebuke actions that are the antithesis of that. Voting Kamala for me is so much greater than policies. It's a vote against another 4 years of faith leaders justifying the actions of a man who destroys the message Jesus came to spread.
So translation, I'm going to overlook the shedding of innocent blood. I'm going to overlook the sanctity of marriage and how they're destroying that through their legislations. I'm going to overlook what the policies being put in place are doing to young children, young boys and girls, and destroying their identity. I'm going to overlook all that just so the evil orange man won't get 4 more years in office. That's what she's saying here.
And that is why I get involved in politics. I'm a therapist.
Good to know.
I try to leave my clients with what I call committed action steps. And the following are the ones I'd love for you to take with me. First, pray. Pray for the faith leaders in our country to take a stand for justice, mercy, and humility. Second, pledge. Take the Evangelicals for Harris pledge on our website, evangelicalsforharris.com.
Yeah, no thanks.
And lastly, service.
Go. You may have heard of white women for Kamala, black women for Kamala, white dudes for Harris, Haley voters for Harris, or even cat ladies for Harris. But have you heard of Evangelicals for Harris? It's a real thing, and it's causing quite a stir. Part of the reason for the internet uproar is that the group used footage of the late Reverend Billy Graham in an ad supporting Harris. For context, Graham was hailed as, quote, America's pastor and the pastor to presidents, working with leaders like Harry Truman, George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, and Jimmy Carter. Here's a look at what that ad featured.
And said, Lord, I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm willing to change my way of life.
Have you ever asked God for forgiveness? That's a tough question. I'm not sure I have. I don't bring God into that picture. I don't.
His son, Reverend Franklin Graham, criticized the group for using his father's image and took to Twitter to say, quote, The liberals are using anything and everything they can to promote candidate Harris. They even developed a political ad trying to use my father, Billy Graham's image. They are trying to mislead people. Maybe they don't know that my father appreciated the conservative values and policies of President Donald Trump in 2016. And if he were alive today, my father's views and opinions would not have changed. To which Evangelicals for Harris responded, quote, "The issue, Franklin, is that in your worship of Trump, you have forsaken the gospel. We are voting for Harris, but we only worship Jesus. Remember the calling to which you were called." And this is how MSNBC's Joy Reid reacted to the drama. Let's watch.
They're not alone in tiring of his act. A separate group, Christians for Kamala, had a Zoom meeting last night that included leaders from several progressive Christian groups urging supporters to get behind Harris and Walz. Call it divine intervention? Or perhaps lots of Christians are just getting fed up with being associated with the hateful vision of Donald Trump, his Bible stunts and religious hypocrisy, and are fighting back with a counter-narrative to conservative evangelicals' overwhelming support for Trump. These groups say the conversation on faith and spirituality has been hijacked by the Christian right.
Okay, that's enough of that. So, now where are you going with this, Brother Ricky? Here's where I'm going. Get your Bibles. You're going to need them. I'll give you a second. You guys listen by Apple or by Spotify, because I'm going to go to a few places here. We're going to start out in Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Here's what it says. This is Daniel chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 25, okay? And this is in the King James translation. Now, this is speaking of the Antichrist who will come in the last days, okay? And listen to what it says here, and I've highlighted some stuff. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out." Somebody say wear out, okay? "He shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Now, the New King James will translate the phrase "wear out" as "he shall persecute the saints." I'll talk about that in just a second, but for the sake of this, let's stick to the King James. "He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think," look at this, "to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time." Bottom line, listen, the Antichrist, when he rises to power, okay, the Bible says the first thing he's going to do is wear out the saints. Now, again, when you read the New King James, it says he will persecute the saints. Now, this is kind of, I could say a poor translation, but it doesn't really bring out something I'm going to bring out, because when I look this word, this phrase up here, it's actually, this was written in Aramaic. And by definition, the word "wear out" in Aramaic, because when we hear persecution, we think of physical force. For example, in Revelation 13, it talks about those who refuse the mark of the beast, they'll be beheaded for their testimony to Jesus, right? That would be a form of persecution. Incarceration, beating, flogging, fines, all these things, this is a form of persecution, but this is not what this is here. In Aramaic, in its original language, when it was written, the phrase here, "wear out," it literally means, watch this, it means to oppress, to wear down mentally. Let me say that again. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he will wear down the saints, watch this, through oppression and mental strongholds. He will wear you down, vexate you. How's he going to do this, Brother Ricky? I believe the clues are in the scriptures. Let me pull it back up. Again, this is in Daniel. He will change times and laws. Watch this. In other words, he is going to, this is so good, guys. I've really, Lord, help me to get what the revelation that you showed me in my spirit. Help me to articulate the words and get it to your people. the listeners, the recipients of this. I want them, Holy Spirit, to receive this like you downloaded it to me. Think about the world as we know it, the culture, the civilization, the moral, ethical standards, the whole nine yards that we have, that we've lived by, the codes of conducts, the moral standards, all these things we have as the Western society, okay? When the Antichrist comes on the scene, he is going to change everything we know, times and laws. He will change legislations. Are you hearing me? He will pass laws that will change society and civilization as we know it. He will legalize things that will shock you. He will sign legislations into pass that will wear down, listen to me, that will mentally vexate Christians, the saints, the believers. It will wear you down. It will grieve you. It will break your heart because you will sit around at you'll sit around at the restaurant. You'll sit in your home. You'll sit in your church group and your church. You'll sit with your family and you'll have discussions and you'll say, I can't believe what has become of America. Oh, come on. Are you hearing me now? Are we not saying this now? Are we not having these conversations now at our dinner table? Are we not having these conversations at work? Are we not having conversations with our families during the holidays when we bring up the world, we bring up society, we bring up everything? The world as we know it, excuse me, is changing rapidly. And we know, and let me show you, I'm going to show you some more scriptures. Look at this. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. A very familiar passage. This kind of gives you a clue of what's going on. Jesus said in Luke 17, he said, as it were, and this is Luke 17, 26, by the way, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, drank, married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, drank, bought, sold, planted, and built. But on the day that the lot went out of Sodom, excuse me, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, the key here, guys, is both in Noah's day and Lot's day, something provoked the wrath of God, wherein which the judgment of God came upon the days of Noah and the days of Lot. You go to read again, go to the days of Noah. The Bible says lawlessness, evil, iniquity covered the face of the earth. And it grieved the Lord to the point where he was ready to destroy the earth of a flood. You go into the days of Lot. Let me show you what the Bible says about that. And this is a real key here, guys. You got to catch this. Look at this. This is in 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness. I love how it calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Look at this. Bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And turning, look at this. So he refers to the days of Noah, but then watch this, verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. So you have the days of Noah and you have the days of Lot. And he says that these were done as examples to those that would live afterward, howbeit that it would be us. It would be perpetual generations. But then look at verse 7, 2 Peter 2:7, and delivered righteous Lot who was oppressed. And again, the King James uses the word vexed. The righteous Lot was vexed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Now here, you ready? You've got to get this. Watch what was happening to Lot And I venture to say, based on Luke 17, as it were in the days of Noah and Lot, so will it be the return of the Son of Man. I believe both Noah and Lot were both vexed. Why? Because of the wickedness they were both hearing and seeing in their days. And the Bible calls Noah a preacher of righteousness, and it calls Lot a righteous man. And the word vexed, you better, come on, if you're taking notes, you better write this down. The word vexed means to be annoyed, wore down, mentally drained, oppressed, and grieved. Let me say that one more time for the back row. Vexed means to be annoyed, wore down, mentally drained, oppressed, and grieved. Listen what I'm trying to tell you today. Your Bible says that even in Noah's day, lawlessness was rampant. In Lot's day, Noah's day, rampant. Lot's day, rampant. And look at this. Now I'm going to take you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, okay? This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica. And notice he says in here, in verse 7, again, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness, somebody say the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Again, it was at work in Noah's day. It was at work at Lot's day. And it was working in the day in which Paul wrote this to the church of Thessalonica. And can I tell you something? The mystery of lawlessness is already working in the earth today. Again, lawlessness means iniquity. Your translation may say the mystery of iniquity is at work, is already at work. Literally what this means, guys, the word iniquity or immorality means immoral or wicked behavior. I believe, listen, here's the synopsis of everything I'm trying to tell you today. That these headlines that we're reading that is grieving you, that is wearing you down, it's oppressiveness. You turn on the news, it's so oppressive, it's so dark, it's so grim, it's so gloom and so doom. You look for hope in the church, and it's like all the leaders are failing. They're falling into immorality. They're falling into greed and lasciviousness and wickedness. And then you've got entire professed believers that have no problem voting and supporting politicians that advocate the shedding of innocent blood, the destruction of marriage and the marriage unit that we know of, destroying identities of children. They have no problem with this because of their hatred towards a man. You when you put all this together, you read these insane headlines, the woke movement, and it goes on and on and on. Again, friends, I believe what we're seeing right now, this is the mystery of lawlessness that's already at work. But I'm going to go back here to the Bible. I'm going to pull this up. Look what Paul said. Again, this is 2 Thessalonians. I think I said 1 Thessalonians a while ago. If I did, excuse me, correction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, I think I did say 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, to whom the Lord will consume with the brightness or with the breath of his mouth and destroy the brightness of his coming. Again, notice it says there's the lawlessness that will produce the lawless one. Friends, I want to tell you, based on this scripture as well as Daniel 7, I believe everything we're seeing right now is setting the stage. If you think that you are being worn down now, and maybe you're like, you look at, you know, righteous Lot. The Bible says again of Lot, it says that this man was dwelling among them. He lived among them. He had to operate among them. He had to go to work every day. He had to function in life, but he was tormented. Your Bible says his righteous soul was tormented from day by day by hearing and seeing the lawless deeds of, again, the lawlessness that was going on, the wickedness. He was vexed. Noah, same situation. The Bible says the whole earth was filled with violence, and him and his family were the only righteous in the earth at that time. You don't think that would wear you down mentally? You don't think that there would be dark thoughts that would come to you and be like, Lord, what am I doing? Everybody else is living whatever they're doing. They're buying, they're selling, they're trading, they're giving in marriage, they're building, they're planting, they're living life normal. There's no consequences. There's no judgment. There's no repercussions. They can say what they want. They can do what they want. Sleep with whoever they want. They can get drunk and be merry and go their way, and there's no repercussions. Oh, but your Bible says, I got to go back to the scripture and read this to you. The Bible says that they drank. Yes, they ate. Yes, they were marrying. Yes, they were given a marriage, but they did this until the day that Noah entered the ark. And then they knew not until the day the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, in the days of Lot, life was normal. They were eating and they were drinking. They were buying. They were selling. They were planting. They were building. They were living their best life now. And then one day the heavens split open, and suddenly we don't know what it was. Was it a burst from a meteor that came through? Was it a volcanic eruption? All we know is that the author said it looking unto like fire and brimstone that came out of heaven and destroyed them all, and even turned Lot's wife, who could not get, she got out of Sodom, but she couldn't get Sodom out of her, and she looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. And Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. I've come by to tell you today, listen, things are going to look normal. It's going to be a normal day. It looks normal. It looks like there's no repercussions. It looks like God's asleep at the wheel. It looks like he's turned a blind eye. But I can assure you that he neither sleeps nor slumbers. His eyes is not blind. They're not dim. His arm is not short. His ear is not heavy. God sees the things that are going on in the earth. And friend, there is going to come a day when time is going to run out. The grains of sand is going to run through. The clock is going to strike the midnight hour. And we're going to hear the voice of the trumpet of God, the shout of an archangel. And we're going to hear the trumpet of God. And come on, the remnant's going to hear, come up hither, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up and be with them in the clouds, and together we shall forever be with him. And Paul says to comfort one another with these words. But in the meantime, until that day comes, I just need you to be aware, based on the revelation I believe the Holy Spirit gave me today, that if you feel oppressed today, you feel weighed down and bogged down, and if you feel vexed in your spirit by the things that you're seeing, the things that you're hearing, and living life, and it's and all this iniquity and this transgressions and all these things that's going on, friends, then count that a blessing. Don't get sad about it. Don't keep your head down, because two men of God in the Bible that Jesus referred to was Noah and Lot, and they were both called righteous men in the earth, because you're a salmon that's swimming upstream. You're not going with the culture. You're not going with what's popular, but you're swimming upstream. Come on. My Bible says wide and broad is the path that leads into destruction, that many go into it, but straight and narrow is the path to eternal life, and few be that find it. Friends, if the world is grieving you, if the world is vexing you, if the conditions of this planet and this culture is wearing you down, you just need to know something. It means you're full of the Holy Ghost and you see the things how they are. But I would be disturbed, I would be troubled, and I would be really concerned if the things of this world, the culture of this world, the iniquity, the evil, and the darkness, if it didn't trouble you, it didn't bother you, and if it didn't concern you, I would be really concerned. But I come by to tell you that all of this is, in my opinion, the alarm clock that's sounding, saying that the lawless, listen, the mystery of lawlessness is at work, and it's working in the earth, but it is paving the way for the lawless one. And if you think legislations are bad now that persecute Christians, if you think laws are passing now that puts crosshairs on Christians and they're being censored, they're being shadow banned, they're being lied on, they're being blasted, they're being defamed, they're being targeted. If you think it's bad now, wait until the Antichrist appears. When he appears, your Bible says in Daniel chapter 7 that he will attempt to change laws and times, and this oppression and this vexation on the saints will go to a whole other level. But I don't know who I'm. Listen, I just got to have to come by and say this right now, and this might offend you, but that's okay. This is my faith, not yours. But I don't plan on sticking around for the lawless one to be revealed, because my Bible says that this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. But he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed from heaven. There's something I got to tell you here. Whatever this restrainer is, whatever this hinder is that Paul talks about, we know that it was something that was already known. We know, number two, we know that it hinders lawlessness. Number three, we know that it's strong enough to prevent the revelation of the Antichrist from being known in the earth. Number four, it will hinder lawlessness until it is, whatever this hindrance is, whatever this the restrainer is, once it is removed from the earth, it will no longer hinder lawlessness from coming to its fullness. Number five, it is called he. Number six, it will be removed from the earth before the second coming. Number seven, it will not be here. Whoever the restrainer is will not be present when Christ comes to destroy the Antichrist. I know we've got people's gone back and forth. It's Michael the Archangel. It's this, it's that. I stand firm and believe that the restrainer that's holding back the Antichrist from fully coming to fruition, and it's restraining lawlessness from going to the maximum level, is the Holy Spirit living inside the church. Friend, I believe the church is the restrainer. If the church was not here and there wasn't a praying remnant in the earth, pray and tell me, if you think it's bad now, think how bad it would be in the earth if there would be no Holy Ghost church, if there be no restrainer in the earth called the church, the ecclesia, who knows how to pray in the Holy Ghost, who knows how to bind and loose and take authority and use the weapons of our warfare. But there's coming a day when that restrainer will be removed and lawlessness will go rampant, and the lawless one will come to full power, because there'll be no opposing voice to oppose him, because the church, and I'm not talking about the woke church, come on, the woke church will be eating from the Antichrist's hands because they're going to be left behind. I'm talking about the remnant church, the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, on fire, branded, unadulterated, word lovers, truth-abiding church. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking about the lukewarm, passive, lily delivered, spineless, jelly-backed church that don't rise up, they don't speak out anything, they don't preach on righteousness, they don't believe in sanctification, they make no distinction between the holy and the profane. I'm not talking about that church. I'm talking about the real remnant church. When the real remnant church is removed from the earth, then the Antichrist will have no trouble or no problem from signing into fruition his laws and times that he will change to bring great tribulation to its fullness. And again, and friends, that is what I wanted to relate to you today. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. I know some of y'all's, your head's spinning. I know I talk fast and preach. I just preach probably an hour and a half message in about 50 minutes. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That right there on your screen, that is our free app. Please download it today. Hit yes to push notifications. Get all of our free, again, every podcast, every headline, everything's going to be right there at your fingertips. Again, I would love and appreciate you guys smashing the like button, hit that bell notification, hit the subscribe button. And of course, guys, if this ministry blessed you, encouraged you, equips you, all of the above, You can give back. You can support us. Listen, we are a partner-based ministry. We're a partner-supported ministry. We operate out of your generous support. No merchandise, no merch. We don't sell any of that. We don't sell our podcast. There's no subscription fees. We don't charge for an app. It's free to you. All you got to do is pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app, or you can give by check or money order right there at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. Listen, we love you guys. We appreciate you. Thank you, all of our partners, you guys who write us letters, you send pictures in the mail, you send us kind gifts, blessings. We know, we recognize these, we read them, we're praying over these. Listen, we're getting ready to start praying. We're going to have live prayer sessions, and I'm excited about this and getting you guys on board with this. This is going to be a game changer for some of you guys. So this is exciting news. So listen, we're going to sign off for tonight, and we'll be, Lord willing, be back here tomorrow night, August 23rd, same time, same place, same channel, 7 p.m., 8 p.m., 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.